Have the Texans changed the way the NFL will do business moving forward? I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie, alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig, as we get set to go around the NFL here in the loop. Real quick, the last segment we were doing the question of the day, what's an excuse you hear that immediately makes you skeptical, whether it's true or not? I like this one that came along with the idea of getting your hands dirty when you claim you have a flat tire. 832 said they used to call into work, say they had a flat tire, and then they would go onto Facebook and check in on Facebook at a discount tire center across the street from where they lived. That is a great
idea.
That's
a lot of work, man.
Well, if it was across the street from where they live, that's a lot easier.
But that's a lot of work to be lying.
That's a really good one.
At that point, I had to think to myself, like, man, what am I doing?
Am I the problem?
Yeah, I'm going to hell.
Yeah, if only Facebook was still as popular, you could still try to use that technique. I don't know if it'd work as well now. And then someone on YouTube was unhappy with my take about getting out there to work in the rain or traveling in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking about a window washing company that they have. People get upset when they don't come out in the rain. That's completely, I'm talking solely commute. Just like, you know, UPS has neither rain nor sleet nor snow. The mailmen are still going to get out there. Same idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I had a barber. I was going to this barber. It was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to go. I was trying to get a haircut. He was like, man, I don't know. It's about to rain, man. I'm just like, what?
What are you doing?
I'm like, are you cutting my hair outside? He was ready to cancel the appointment because it's about to rain.
Cutting my hair outside.
I'm like, man, what is going on? That was when I first moved here.
Yeah.
I didn't really know much about the flooding and stuff like that or how hard it rained. But I was just like, bro.
I'm still that way. Let's go around the NFL. Did the Texans change things for everyone in the NFL because, you know, they gave out that guaranteed contract for a second-round pick? Only one other second-round pick has signed a contract. 30 of the 32 picks are currently unsigned. Is this all Nick Caserio's doing?
Dang, Nick. Thanks a lot, man. No, look. I think there's a lot to this. Not just something. I think there's a lot to this. We know Jaden Higgins, it was unprecedented, fully guaranteed contract they gave him in May, you know, shortly after the draft. Then the Browns signed Swessinger.
Yeah.
Fully guaranteed.
Which is funny because they had another second round pick that they didn't sign.
Yes.
Fully guaranteed. Or they didn't sign yet.
That's it. There's been two second round draft picks signed. And the other 30 are unsigned. And the latest one was the Chargers. Now, the Chargers reported already. I guess, are they in the Hall of Fame game or something?
They must be. I don't know.
Must be. But they reported, and the number 55 overall pick, Trey Harris from Ole Miss, didn't show up, didn't participate already because he wants the fully guaranteed contract. There's a lot to this. There really is.
The Chargers are in the Hall of Fame game, by the way, against the Lions. So, yeah, that's why. Yeah, there's going to be a lot more of these as these teams actually start to report and these players are unsigned. We're going to get, I imagine, more and more holdouts from these rookies. You know, it's interesting. I know it's not really apples to apples, but, you know, when they changed the CBA, like whatever it was, 15 years ago after the Sam Bradford deals and everything, mm-hmm. where it was like, okay, we can't be paying these guys so much, these rookies, they actually have to earn it in the league. And now we're kind of circling back where if you're going to guarantee the contracts right away, I'm sure a lot of these teams are unhappy with that thought process of 15 years ago of like, we can't get carried away of giving these guys a lot of this money where we have to make sure like you actually can prove that you are good enough to play in the NFL before we want to commit to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I imagine, you know, that's part of the concern with these teams of not wanting to, I mean, there's not a, it's hard to get guaranteed contracts in the NFL to begin with, let alone someone who hasn't taken a snap yet in the league.
But the seal has been broken. Obviously, yep. Deshaun Watson at the highest level. Yep. Others have gotten almost fully guaranteed contracts, but those are proven stars. Now you're looking at the second rounder. I'm cool with it. You know, I always want the players to get money, and a second round pick doesn't get a lot of money. So maybe their thinking is, you know, we're going to be around for at least 2 or 3 years. You're not going to cut us unless we're awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most second round picks, the general manager wants to keep them around to see how they develop because they're more not like they're, you know, bad or anything, but they're more developmental. So they're like, hey, we just guarantee it, guarantee the money. It's not a lot in the grand scheme of things. So we'll see. But 30 out of 32 second round picks have not signed. Now, here's the thing. Tomorrow, six more teams report for camp. Texans, a week from tomorrow, report for camp. The Ravens, Bills, Dolphins, Giants, Niners, and Seahawks report tomorrow. If we see more second-round picks not showing up and participating, well, then you got something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we will. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to get more and more holdouts from these guys. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it also depends what happens from there. If a lot of these teams start to cave, then, you know, it becomes the new norm or the expectation for draft picks moving forward. Mm-hmm. Whereas if teams hold their ground and it's the players who have to cave, then this is just kind of a blip. Mm-hmm. You saw what the Texans did with Higgins. Other guys tried to wield that same power. It didn't work. And now we just kind of move forward. Mm-hmm. So I guess it kind of depends how things play out in the coming weeks leading up to the season on if this becomes like the new norm and expectation in the future, or if this is just simply some other players seeing an opportunity, trying to use their power to get that guaranteed contract. Didn't work, potentially, in this hypothetical, and we go back to the way things were.
Yeah, and the biggest headline was Shamar Stewart, you know, and he was vocal about it. But his was more about, I think it was the language in the contract somehow.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure the guarantee was at play, you know, at some level. So we'll see. I don't mind it, but it is... You can point directly to what the Texans did in Nick Caseria.
For sure. Yeah. It has started a movement here in the NFL. Yeah. We'll see how far it goes. Speaking of the Texans, so ESPN, as we go around the NFL, ESPN has been doing their top 10 of each position group by day. We'll get to the quarterback one that they put out this morning later on because it's pretty interesting. But over the weekend, they did top 10 offensive linemen. No Texans received any votes in the 26 interior linemen that got a vote in this. Zero Texans received votes amongst the 24 tackles that got votes in this. So let's say the top 50 offensive linemen in the league did not include any Texans. Are you surprised by that at all?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not in the least bit. It's very clear what the Texans' strategy is with the offensive line. They're more about the five fingers in a glove than the one superstar. They've showed us that with Laremy Tunsil going away, and really, I guess you could argue a little bit Ingram. But they're more about the five guys playing at a high level than having, you know, the superstar talent, so to speak. And that's the story of the season.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the story of the season.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wasn't surprised either. I wasn't expecting anything else. Laremy Tunsil was number 7, by the way, for tackles, for best tackles in the league, as voted upon by the 70 executive scouts and such in the NFL. We'll get to the top 10 quarterback list at 1 o'clock to see where C.J. Stroud fit in, and I think it's a pretty interesting list. We'll talk that out later on. But, yeah, no surprise here. Hey, CBSSports.com put together the 25 worst NFL coaching hires of this century. And that, of course, spans the entire existence of the Texans. We're not going to go through all 25, but I'll just tell you, number 25 is all of the Browns hires, essentially, of the last two decades. Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Pat Shermer, Rod Chizinski, Mike Pettin. 24 is Nick Saban, which, just as a quick sidebar, I think Saban is very underrated. He's like a punchline as an NFL coach. I don't really know why. He had a pretty good year with the Dolphins, and of course we all know about, you know, they chose Dante Culpepper with his bad knees over Drew Brees. Things could have been completely different, but he beat Bill Belichick a couple times in the Patriots, and he had a pretty good season. I think it was the first year with the Dolphins where they like almost made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's just a sidebar. I think we really underrate Nick Saban in the NFL. He was only there for 2 years. Anyways, then we get to some Texans hires. Who would you guys deem would be the worst hire in Texans history for a head coach?
David Culley.
Well, so David Culley is on the list. He's number 23 on this list. Mm-hmm. But then Lovie Smith is number 22.
They have Lovie ahead of him?
Yeah.
And ahead means worse.
Yeah. So Lovie Smith is the worst hire, and then David Culley right behind him.
David Culley's behind Lovie's. You know,
that's a good one.
That Lovie Smith is the worst hire I've ever seen. You can
Lovie?
Throw, yeah.
Lovie?
I mean David Culley.
David Culley. Culley. Okay.
David Culley's the worst hire I've ever seen. You can talk about anybody. Who are the top three?
Let me skim down here. 4 is Josh McDaniels. 3 is Cam Cameron, who was the head coach of the Dolphins 1 year. They went 1-15. Yeah, that was brutal. That was around the same time the Lions went 0-16. Number two is Bobby Petrino, who was 3-10 for the Falcons and then left midseason and didn't tell the team. He just left post-it notes in the locker room. And then number one is Urban Meyer, who was 2-11 in that disastrous season with the Jags.
Well, they all deserve to be on the list. But you said worst hire. That's how they framed it.
Yeah.
You know, Josh McDaniels, you could justify the hire and, you know, obviously it didn't work out. Cam Cameron, I don't know if you can justify that one. It was definitely on the list. Bobby Petrino, all sorts of things going on and just a weird cat, but certainly had some pelts on the wall and probably deserving of the hire.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Urban Meyer. You take a flyer. No.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be rhyming here. Take a flyer on Meyer. You know, but in terms of like just the worst hire, when they hired David Culley, we were all like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
It's a good point.
You know,
even with Urban Meyer, I'm not mad at him being the worst hire ever because that brother got fired in the middle of the season of his first season.
Yeah, but he had done some things.
But it was a disaster.
It was. I think all of it.
He couldn't even last the whole season. At least Culley lasted the whole season.
Well, they didn't have anywhere to go. He wasn't doing anything.
And it's all the other stuff too. Like Urban did not travel with the team. Yeah. And then was found like hanging out with a 20-year-old in a bar. Like it was just everything that went into it. It was so weird.
And they were expected to be good.
Yeah.
They were expected to be good.
But see, all those things of these top four and five, as he mentioned, they did things to deserve to get fired. That didn't mean they didn't deserve to get hired.
Yeah. No, we didn't look at it as a bad hire when it happened.
David Culley.
I think David Culley was like, what? We never even heard of him.
We were working together, Figgy. I came back from the introductory press conference when he was like the Texan staffers standing in the back of the room had a 1,000-yard stare. After that,
yeah,
they were like looking, like staring off into the distance, like, oh my God.
I take it a step further before he actually got hired.
Yeah,
we were sitting there. I think Aaron Wilson might have tweeted they Texans just interviewed David Culley, receivers coach for I forgot who he was. I think it might have been Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And we was just like, no, we know that ain't about to be it.
Yeah,
and I was after a while, I was sitting there like, I don't know. And y'all was like, Figgy, come on now. Why would they hire somebody like this?
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually hired him.
Yep.
That's a good point. If you frame it that way, Culley's definitely top five. I was just scrolling through the list. You can make a pretty good case for most of those coaches of like, yeah, I get why they were hired. There's very few on this list of like, how did that guy get a job? Jim Tomsula might be one. Of like, why did they hire him?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Campo might be one. Like, what were the Cowboys doing hiring Campo? And that's my guy from Connecticut. But Culley would be up there top five on that list of like, what were they thinking from the beginning?
To be honest, I was kind of shocked that Romeo Crennel made the list for Cleveland because it didn't end well, but he did have a 10-win season.
Yeah.
But he unfortunately didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was. I didn't look at him as the like the worst hire though.
Mm-hmm. They just lumped every from. They said from 2005 to 2015, they just put all the Browns hires. So unfortunately,
that makes sense.
He got lumped in there. Yeah. Poor guy. That's what happens when you coach for the Browns. Unfortunately. The only other thing I want to make sure we get to here around the NFL because this is ridiculous to me. Ryan Poles got an extension for the Bears, GM of the Bears. I don't like arrogance. I much prefer people that are humble. When Ryan Poles was hired, he said, like, we're going to run the NFC North. They have won 3 division games in 3 years. He has won a total of 15 games his team has in his 3 years. He's very arrogant. I don't know why. And then somehow he gets a contract extension out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it, but the Chicago Bears extended their GM, I think, for another 3 years, even though they've averaged 5 wins per season under Ryan Poles.
And you are 100% right. But hey, you know, he's smart enough to have picked a guy that was trending in Ben Johnson and doing that. Ben Johnson may be awful. We don't know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I know they're hopeful in Chicago, but why don't we wait to see how things play out before you give the GM an extension? That's around the NFL. We're going to stay with the NFL because when we come back, we feel really good, of course, about the Texans this year, their chances, their ability to win the division. But what if this one thing happens? Will you feel differently about the Texans in 2025? We'll get to that next. It's In the Loop.